In our Bibles at this time to the Word of God in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, there's an outline of the message for you in the bulletin as we walk our way through the book of Philippians, looking at all stars in Philippians 2, beginning at verse 12. Remember, Paul is in chains for the gospel. He's in prison under house arrest, and he's writing to the church at Philippi and encouraging them. We just looked at the career of Jesus Christ, God who stepped down and humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now he's highly exalted at God's right hand, ruling over all things. And Paul has that in mind as he's going now into Philippians chapter 2 at verse 12. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, and let's receive it with believing hearts. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. You may be seated. So far, the reading of the Word of God. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open and handy for the message tonight on all stars. Your congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters in the Lord, and friends of our church family, any complainers here tonight? Oh, we got a hand up. All right. Yeah, I can relate. Absolutely. What about grumblers, arguers? Anyone want to admit to grumbling and arguing just earlier, maybe coming to church? Yeah, grumblers and complainers. It starts really early, doesn't it? Broccoli again, Mom? Mashed potatoes? I wanted French fries. Come on. I'm sick of mashed potatoes. And it goes late in life. We grumble and complain, and it becomes this unholy habit in all of our lives. And we start arguing and complaining early, and it carries on into our lives. And we get to a point where we find ourselves, you know, feeling that road rage as we're going down the road, and we're, you know, hearing all these people yelling at each other out their window as they're driving along. And if you don't do that out loud, I know you do that, because I do it too, as we mutter under our breath. What's wrong with that? What's really wrong with that is that we can't shine then. We're not shining as stars and reflecting the light of Jesus Christ in this world. So that's Paul's impulse as he's writing to us. He wants us to have this missionary power in the world, this crooked and depraved generation. So let's put away grumbling and arguing and complaining, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of all, so that we may shine as stars. God casts you into a star role in the drama of life. Jesus Christ is that actor and the main star, but he's also the director of our lives. And he gives you a stage, the world, on which he wants you to shine with the light of Jesus Christ. And me too. So how does that happen in our lives? Well, Christians shine as lights in the world because of God's work of grace and in the world and according to the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord here. So first of all, God's work in our lives. And I love how Paul does that. He front loads gospel grace because he's going to hit us with some pretty important and challenging commands here, but he says, look, I want you to soak up the grace of God. First of all, any work we do is always the effect of God working in us. We're going to get to the work that we are to work out as Christians in a moment, but he says, my beloved, as you have always obeyed now, so, and not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice very carefully, God through Paul isn't saying work for your salvation. We just got done looking last Sunday at how Jesus Christ came down from heaven all the way to the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead. Kind of that Nike symbol, he swooped down to accomplish our salvation. Jesus Christ saves, and he said it's finished. And he provides us with a finished salvation. And now, by his Spirit, he calls us to work out our salvation, to tease out, to work out what God is working in us for his own pleasure, work out the applications and the implications of this salvation in your life. But it's anything and everything we do as Christians, so-called good works, are always the effect of God's good work of grace working on us and working with us and working in us. That work, we get the word energy from that word work. It's the energy of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, energizing us to live a life by which we shine as stars in the universe. Any work we do is the effect of God working in us. And it's kind of like a math problem. You got, 432 plus 137. So you got to work all the numbers, right? Work it out. That's the idea. Or it's really this idea of going into a mine and digging and digging and digging into that mine to get all of the gold and all the jewels, all of the silver out of that mine. It's a strenuous, energetic work. So at least in this regard, we refer to this as our sanctification. And sanctification is God's work in us by his Spirit to conform us to that pattern of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's life, the life of a servant. Let each of you look not only to his interests, chapter 2, verse 4, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who took the form, verse 7, of a servant. So, brothers and sisters, we are to do that how? Paul lays that out for us. I think he's using language very specifically, that it's 100% God's work, and then it's 100% our work, energized by the grace of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean when it comes to living out the Christian life? No more of this. Let God and let me just be passive. Let me just sit back and be acted on. It's not a passive approach in our life as living a Christian life. Let go, let God. That's not what sanctification is about. It's being energetic and working at it to work out and tease out all of the applications and implications. Some of that is, remember that knees are bending, knees are bowing before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Does the education that we provide for our children. Here's one way we work this implication out. We work out our salvation. Does the education that we are giving our children reflect that knees are bowing before King Jesus and the Bible? It means having the person over to our home who's kind of awkward. It's hard sometimes to strike up a conversation. That's what it means to be a servant, to work out some of the applications, work it out as God works in. And he uses a specific language when he says, okay, my beloved, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. BC, before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saved us, before we met him and he made a way for our salvation, that he gave us faith by his Spirit, before Christ, we were not willing and we were not able to glorify God. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, raised us from a spiritual death and infused within us, gave us his very life, his life-giving love by what? The word of life, verse 16 of the text, to will and to work for his good pleasure. And Paul says, how do you do this? You do this with fear and trembling. Interesting. Paul doesn't say, do it by love and wisdom. He doesn't say, do it by grace and mercy. He says, do it by fear and trembling. Why does he say that? I believe he says that because our default mode is to fail. You have feet of clay. I have feet of clay. We are still sinners on the way. Pilgrim people, prone, as the song says, prone to wander and leave God, the God we love. So, Lord, take my heart, seal it for your courts above. We're one step away from blowing up our Christian testimony. So we need to be fearing. We need to be trembling before the word of the Lord. So we stay humble and dependent on the Lord as he's working in us to work out our salvation by his word, by his word. Do all things. Verse 14. It's the second lesson here. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. Here's how we are working out the details of our salvation as God works in us. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. And the Apostle Paul uses an interesting word there. The word is gongousmos. Some of us who are a little older may remember the Gong Show, or at least heard of the Gong Show. It's the same word used in Acts chapter 2 when there's murmuring and grumbling going on in the early church. Some of the people weren't getting the meals and the Meals on Wheels program. They were being overlooked, and there's a bunch of grumbling and complaining going on. Same word Paul uses here, gongousmos, is a gong show. Gong, gong, that's all you hear is a bunch of grumbling and complaining. And Paul says, do not grumble or complain. And the Apostle Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, when God's people were grumbling. And what were they grumbling about? They were grumbling and arguing with their leaders. There's so much fault to find. So they were finding fault. And God warned them, as God is warning his people in the church at Philippi and warning us as well. Work out your salvation. How do you do that specifically and practically? How do you shine as stars in the world, reflecting the light of Christ, the servant Savior's love? You do all things, not just some things, not just most things. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. I read a book a little while ago. I handed it off to someone else, but it had to do with evangelism, and something struck in that book to me that there are people come to church. Why do people come to church? Why don't people come to church? People come to church because of Christians. Praise God for that. People stay away from church because of Christians. Because of Christians. It's a big turnoff. It's a turnoff when you're maybe walking around the neighborhood, right, and you're walking around and there's a pack of pit bulls, right? Barking and biting and, you know, just nipping at each other in the front yard. It's like you want to stay away from that kind of house. Well, when God's house has a pack of pit bulls, just, you know, barking and biting each other and, you know, the grumbling and complaining, there are some people who just want to stay away from church. I got enough of that at work. I got enough of that in the neighborhood. I got enough of that in my life. Why do I need more, hear more grumbling and complaining? May it be for Hudson Valley United Reformed Church that people want to come here, number one, for God. But they come here not hearing grumbling and complaining. They come here hearing gratitude to God. Thankfulness to him, contentment. That's another theme Paul's going to bring up later on. Grumblers, however, believe the lie that God is not good. Grumblers believe the lie that God is not good. And grumbling can grow. Grumbling has this contagious, it's like the virus. We thought it was dying down, but now it's making a comeback. The COVID virus is coming, making a comeback, at least in some parts of the United States. And the grumbling and complaining, I'm bit with the bug too. We're all bit with it. I confess, right, just like Moses complained about the complainers, I as a pastor can grumble about grumblers. So God help me, pray for me. Let's pray for one another. But what is grumbling? Grumbling, when it comes down to beneath the surface in our hearts, we're saying, God, you're not giving me the best. I know better. And we become the judge of God, the judge. Is that where you really want to be? No, you don't. I don't either. We shouldn't be there. And grumbling, what does it look like in your life? What does it look like in my life? How do we grumble and argue? The word there in the Greek is dialogue. We're having a dialogue. We're constantly arguing in our minds and arguing with one another as we grumble and we complain about the leadership in the church or this being done in the Church of Jesus Christ or that. I disagree with this and that. And what's behind that is an idol. It's a false god. And we need to flee from idolatry. Think about that in your life. As I evaluate my life, there's an idol, a false god, that's behind grumbling. And that's what Paul says. Paul is in prison here, but Paul isn't complaining. amazing, isn't it? Paul is in prison. Why? Because there were crooked and there were depraved men who wanted him in jail. We're living, he says, in a crooked and twisted generation among whom you were. We are to shine as lights in the world. And he was sitting in jail, handcuffed to a Roman soldier. And he's still rejoicing. He's saying the gospel is spreading, right? Remember that already in Philippians chapter 1? The gospel is spreading, and I praise God for that, but rejoice with me, be glad, verses 17 and 18. And he's glad and rejoice. He's not complaining. Oh, no. This food again? Oh, the food's awful here. He's not complaining. Oh, man. His handcuffs hurt. My wrists or my ankle. He's not having a pity party. God is at work in his life, and he's working out what God is working in. Let's not forget that. God is at work in you to obey these commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a servant in these situations. And me too. Paul's in prison, but he's not complaining. And I find it interesting that Paul here isn't, he's not saying, you know, would you please not complain? Here's a suggestion I have for you. If you feel up to it, if the Spirit moves you, no, it's a command. He commands us, do all things without grumbling or arguing, questioning. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. The word of life. Paul's in prison. He's not complaining because he has the word of life just energizing him. So he calls us not to complain because that word of life is working, the life-giving love of our Savior. That word of life that came in the flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why shouldn't we be grumbling? Why shouldn't we be complaining? Because the word of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, came as the silent lamb to die for your arguing and my complaining and yours without a complaint. How does God deal with grumblers? With much grace. He sends his son, the silent lamb, who is silent before his shearers. No argument, no complaining. Just pouring out his life in love to give us this life. Do to all things without grumbling and complaining with your words. In the world out there, the world in which Jesus says is a stage for you to shine as stars in the universe. The world is warped by evil. The world out there in which we live is warped by evil. And he uses that language, therefore be blameless and innocent, children of God, verse 15, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. It's kind of like when, as builders, you know, you build a home and lay out the plywood, and it starts raining, and rain gets on that wood, and what happens to the wood? It starts warping, and you can put an anvil on that warped wood. What's going to happen when you take the anvil off? It's just going to bounce right back, bling. That's the world. By nature, that's our hearts. They're crooked and depraved, and so is the world out there. The minus God world, the anti-God world. And Paul says, out there, I want us as Christians to shine as stars. And you can do that by doing everything without grumbling or complaining and being pure and blameless. The world of the Apostle Paul was warped by evil. And you can read up on the history of Rome. Congregation Rome was even more pornographic than America today. I'm not going to get into the imagery tonight. Read up on the history. I think America's getting there. But it was a depraved and crooked time. It was a sex-saturated culture. You see it in America, you saw it big time in Rome. And Philippi, right, was a colony of the Roman Empire. And Paul is calling out Christians in this impure world of Rome. It's so hypersexualized. Everywhere you look, you're just seeing the depravity of sin. Sinners ruining God's good gift of sex, of marriage, of how God designs relationships. And Paul says, do not all things without grumbling or complaining, but also be pure and blameless. Be standout Christians who shine with the light of Christ's purity in an impure world. The world is warped by evil. And Paul has this passion about him. Hold fast, hold on to. It's one thing to hold out the word of life in this kind of time, for such a time as this. But you can't hold it out if you're not holding on to it. Contend for the faith. Hold on to the gospel so that we can hold it out to a culture in love with death. Hold it out so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Paul is bothered. He's worked up because of God's work in him. He has this burden, passion. He doesn't want to preach in vain. He doesn't want to be preaching for nothing. He's pouring out his life as a drink offering. He's spending and being spent. And he doesn't want his preaching to be in vain, empty, pointless. And that's my concern as well. It's the concern of the elders of this church who are supervising, called to supervise your souls. That we can somehow believe the lie that just because I'm in church, I'm a Christian. Just because I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. Just because I'm an elder, I'm a Christian. Just because I give money to the church, it makes me a Christian. Paul says, what is a Christian? A Christian says, Jesus is my life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So ask Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. Christianity is Christ. Is your Christianity Christ alone? Paul doesn't want to labor in vain. I don't either. We don't want to. Let the preaching of the gospel not be for nothing, but for something in our lives. Like what? Well, the application there then is do everything without grumbling. First of all, do everything without grumbling, that you may shine as stars in the universe. Jesus Christ casts you as a star in the drama of life. And brothers and sisters, he wants you to be on the stage of the world, wherever you are, wherever we are, to shine with the light of Jesus Christ. It's your time to shine. What does that mean practically? It means when you're making a meal for the family, and you're spending a lot of time and effort making the meal, preparing food for your kids, and or a big family dinner. And when you serve the meal, moms, what do you hear? Ah, it's too done. Ah, it's not done enough. Right then and there, do nothing without grumbling or complaining. Do everything without grumbling. Do everything with gratitude and thankfulness, with contentment before the Lord. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Boys and girls, when mom and dad give you a birthday present and you want to play with your birthday present, and then mom says, no, it's not time to play with your present. It's time for you to help me in the kitchen. Do everything, boys and girls, without grumbling or complaining. And when your brother or sister steps on your toy and breaks it, or gets on your quad and wrecks it, do all things without grumbling or complaining. This is the will of Jesus for you. See, congregation, when we're grumbling and complaining, we're turning the lights out on Jesus, really. We're just throwing water on the fire. So, you know, where's Jesus now? People can't see Jesus in us if we're just grumbling and complaining. And what is behind that? It's this idea in all of our lives, grumbling about the grumblers, or grumbling, and it's contagious. You're on the radio, so am I. We're listening to radio talk show hosts or whatever, television. It's just a bunch of, it's a grumbling fest, and it's contagious. And the more we listen to grumblers and complainers about anything and everything in this world, I'm not talking about speaking the truth in love. That's not what I'm talking about. But this chronic grumbling and complaining, as if God is not good, as if God is not in control, as if God is not the judge who will do what is right, this grumbling and complaining hardens our hearts. And we develop a callous on our souls. As the callous of grumbling grows, we become more and more insensitive to the Spirit's prodding, and it ends in catastrophe. It's hard work, but if we hear grumblers grumbling, you hear me grumbling, call me out on it. If I hear you grumbling, may God give me the grace, graciously, tenderly, right, humbly, as a servant of Jesus. Let's call each other out. Stop it. Don't grumble. Don't grumble. Go take it up with God. Go talk to God about it. Don't talk to me about it. This is our calling as parents with our children. We want to be raising grateful Christians, not grumblers. Therefore, my beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How do you do that? Do all things, everything without grumbling or complaining, that you may shine as stars in the universe. Because what's behind grumbling? I want to be number one. And I want to outshine them all. No, Jesus is to shine. He's number one. We're to be his humble servants. Number two, the second application, there's be pure in a perverted culture. Be pure in a perverted culture. Remember, we're called to be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. I read some chilling statistics, and I know how it goes. I don't read a lot of this because if I'm hearing this, I just like, you know, we kind of filter it out, but just one or two here, okay, about the crooked generation in which we are living. One out of every eight online searches on the internet, of course, and one out of every five mobile searches is for pornography. We're living in a crooked and depraved generation. So we're called to be pure and stand out and show the love of Jesus Christ. He loves purity in our marriages, in our families. Work out your salvation. How do we do that? Action steps. One author says, as parents, we're called to put a fence around the edge of the Grand Canyon, right? We got to be putting up fences and boundaries for our children and our young people so they don't fall over the edge. And there we are as the paramedic trying to pick up all of the broken pieces, put up some biblical boundaries and fences. An action step for us as moms and dads. How can you shine as a star for the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's the action step for you and for me. Let us have a model of beautiful love for our children, that our children can see their mom and dad, that their marriage is about self-giving, not self-interest, self-giving. As a servant of Jesus Christ, putting the interests of others above their own. Let us seek to be modeling for our children. How? Dating our spouse. Keep dating your spouse. And this is how we can shine as stars in this crooked and perverted generation, pure and blameless for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Young people, Jesus Christ calls you to work out your salvation. So be pure in your dating relationships and what you're watching. Have those restrictions on your phone. Have those restrictions on your phone. Give your password. Maybe it's to your dad or your mom, to your accountability partner. Have these restrictions and share the password on the phone. As we saw this morning, temptation is everywhere. It's on the screen. Let us shine with purity. Young people, don't be alone on a date. Hang out in groups. Date with other couples, right? Don't be alone. And also, as young people, don't wake up love too soon. It's the wisdom of the Book of Solomon. Don't wake up love too soon. And as young people, let's be on the lookout for the temptation to feel so emotionally connected and invested with someone that we feel entitled. We feel like they owe it to us to be our boyfriend or girlfriend for life. Sometimes that's not the case, but we can easily become entitled, feeling entitled, like you owe it to me. In this hookup culture, with sex without any strings attached, let us show the way before a watching world that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are working out what God works in us, like with Paul, even in prison, that we so, with Jesus, the risen Savior, is so real to us that we will be holy in our relationships with the opposite sex and in our marriages. Our brothers and sisters, grumbling and complaining It can start early, and it goes often in our lives, whether it's out loud or whether it's a murmuring under our breath. God wants us to shine as stars in the world, holding on to his word of life. So do all things without grumbling or complaining. Be pure and blameless, shining as stars for Jesus Christ as the children of God, our Father in heaven. How in the world are we going to pull this off? I hope that's what you're asking. Because God is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you came as the Lamb of God without a word of complaint, crucified under the wrath of the Father to forgive us of all our impurity, all of our grumbling and complaining. We love you. We praise you. Lord Jesus, forgive us and set us free. We pray that we may shine for you, Lord Jesus, in this dark world. We see the depravity still in our own hearts. And even as we see the crookedness in this generation in which we live, we pray that we may shine with your love and light and be pure and blameless and also do everything without grumbling or complaining. Father in heaven, we thank you for Christians here who are thankful Christians, content Christians, grateful to be yours, grateful to be in your house to sing your praises, and how there have been people in our neighborhood who have come here because of you, because they wanted you, Lord Jesus, to be their Lord and Savior, but they saw glimpses of your love in the lives of your people. Lord, help us to be evangelistic that way. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd give us the courage and compassion to call each other out, to stop grumbling and complaining, to believe that you are good and that you are the judge who will do what is just. Father in heaven, forgive us as husbands for grumbling and complaining about our wives. Forgive us as wives for grumbling and complaining about our husbands, parents grumbling and complaining about our children, children grumbling and complaining about our parents. Brothers and sisters, grumbling and complaining about each other. Lord, we ask that you would work in us, that we would work out what you work in, both to do your good, perfect, and pleasing will, your pleasure. And Lord, we pray that the preaching of the word, preached so weakly, would not be for nothing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together as a